This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
For your chance to win a pair of tickets. Wow, what is this, Depeche?
And Chris Ello.
Egui Rosario got a couple of at-bats last year. Brent Rooker got some at-bats.
Eggy
Rosario, I said E-Guy.
that needs to be a promo as well.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Second hour of Gwen and Chris, hosted by Mr. Matt Scraby here on 97.3 The Fan. We also got Nick DiNucci in studio, whose camera has turned towards the corner of the room. Thank you to everyone in the chat for continuing to talk about Donovan Solano, David Peralta, what's going on there. We do have a lineup, and I didn't tell Nick where the lineup sounder was, so I'm not going to hold him to it. But we do have a Padres lineup, and it's yellow, Nick, on the bottom left. It's yellow on one of the pages. And so I will say that both our guys, Solano and Peralta, are in there. And if Nick can't find it, don't worry. I'm going to get into this lineup. There we go. That's the lineup for you. You got... There it is. Nice job.
To my defense, I had Ben and Wood sound effects, not Gwen and Chris drops.
Oh, so. Ben and Wood sound effects. They got so many more sound effects than I do. Like, I look at their page sometimes, and I'm like, how does Paul even know where any of these things
your
are?
Your description was on point, though. So
thank you. I just know it was in the bottom left, because sometimes exactly I have to tell people where it's at. But we got Luis Arraez leading off, playing first base. Jerickson Profar batting second, playing left field. Jake Cronenworth, second base, batting third. Manny Machado, third base, batting cleanup. Donovan Solano, DHing, batting fifth. Jackson Merrill in center field, batting sixth. David Peralta, right field, batting seventh. Ha-Seong Kim at shortstop, batting eighth. Kyle Higashioka catching, batting ninth. And Randy Vasquez is going to be on the mound for the Padres tonight. After, what is it, a week after he took that ball off of the forearm in Boston, where he was actually pitching really well in that game.
That's right. I was working that one, too. And I'm glad he's not too shook by that, because that looked really, really bad. It's one of those delayed things where you just, like, I can feel the surge of pain after, like, a second and a half to 2.5 seconds shoots up into your brain. And you're just like, ooh. And
yeah.
You can't even stand up.
I can't remember what day it was last week, but I was randomly watching Blue Jays and Yankees, and Chris Bassett took an Aaron Judge line drive right off of his throwing forearm, and you could hear it through the TV. The announcers kind of jumped themselves when it happened, but Aaron Judge just laces this 102-mile-an-hour liner right at Chris Bassett's throwing arm. Hits him, like, right here, and if you're on the camera, you could see, like, mid-forearm down a little bit, and it immediately started swelling up. And so the coaches come out, and they're talking to him, and they have the camera on this thing, and you could see the seams starting to form on his arm. He stayed in the game. He ended up going 7 innings, so give him credit for that. I don't know how he did that, because it sounded like it was a broken arm. It also looked like it was a broken arm. But, you know, they say pitching's fun until you get hit by 102-mile-an-hour liner back at you by Aaron Judge. That would not be fun.
I think Corey Seager took one to the forearm in the Baltimore Orioles series last week.
He was out a little bit, right?
And I had a friend tell me, like, oh, he broke his arm. And I'm like, don't say it. Like, I had to look it up for myself. He didn't break his arm. But it looked pretty painful. It was similar to what you just described on the camera, where it just hits that kind of like the bony part of your arm.
Yeah, and like it's the bone of the forearm.
You could be a UFC fighter. You're not going to sit here and tell me that that doesn't hurt like hell. It just does. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I give anyone credit. Even if you need a week off after that, I understand, because it is extremely painful.
Yeah, well, Chris Bassitt didn't need a week off. He said, I only pitch once every 5 days. I'm going to continue pitching with this extra baseball that has been laced on my arm.
That is some hockey.
I mean, you're playing in Toronto. You kind of have to be a little bit tougher with the hockey stuff.
You're already in there with
because,
all the hockey people.
Yeah, everybody wants you to play through your injuries. Everybody does. I have MLB TV. I don't know how many people just they have this one thing on MLB TV. It's called Big Inning, I think. It's their version of Red Zone, which it's obviously not as good, just because not as much action is happening at all times in baseball. But B, they only have it on certain times. Like, I want to see it on like a Saturday in the middle of the day. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about here. I was asking for people to call us about the Donovan Solano, David Peralta thing. We had a few suggestions in the chat, and I wanted to put this one up there because Ruben says it best. Last year, our bench was garbage. This year, it's so deep we can't decide who to start, which is, like Nick said last segment, a very, very good problem to have. And Ruben, a very good point there, because we are having trouble with finding someone to start, or who to start, or who to sit, or who to throw in to AAA or anything like that. I don't think any of those guys are going to AAA. I also saw a little suggestion in the chat saying Donovan Solano should play some outfield, maybe even left field. And I went and looked at how many times he's played outfield in his career, and I don't know that he is set up to play outfield. He's played in left field. He's only playing 10 games. He started 8 games in his career. He's played 445 games, and he's only played 10 of those in the outfield. So don't know that he's going to be going to the outfield. And I don't know that they want to remove Jerickson Profar from left field. He's patrolled, as Tony says, left field very well this year. He's also thrown out batters again. He did it yesterday. And I want to talk about this real quick, because it when guys get thrown out at home, specifically when Padres are thrown out at home, there's a couple of different thoughts that go through my head. Yesterday, it was when Solano got thrown out at home. And I was looking at the replay, and I know that the Padres have said this in the past, and Tony has said this in the past too, but when you're having a tough time getting anyone on base, and when you're having a tough time getting anyone to third, getting runners in scoring position, and you have an opportunity to do it, to go for home and get that run, you do it, because you don't know when your next opportunity will be. But yesterday, I saw the whole thing happen in slow motion. I saw the ball go to left field. I saw the fielder pick up the ball and be in a throwing motion as Solano was just leaving the base. And I couldn't believe that they sent him. And now, I'm not there. I don't have all the analytics. I don't know how good of an arm Wyatt Langford has. And I know that Wyatt Langford had some great plays yesterday. He robbed Kim of a home run early in the game when he jumped and caught that one that was going over the fence. But Wyatt Langford is, I guess what they're trying to do, and again, I do get it a little bit, they're trying to force him to make a play. And I don't know that yesterday was the day. It seemed like Wyatt Langford was playing some really good defense yesterday. And it seemed like, you know, why should we test him with that? Why should we test him? And why should we send our guy home when we could keep him at third and, you know, hopefully score some more runs later? But it's not a good look. And I know it's not about the look. It's about the thought process going into it. But it's not a good look when you're out at home by 4 or 5 steps, which Solano, poor guy, sees the ball, gets to the catcher before he even gets there, still tries to do something with it, slides in, didn't knock the ball out. He is out. And so I was talking to my friend about this, and they're furious. They're furious with the Padres when they send guys to home when, say, the left fielder already has the ball. They're furious with it. So I explained to them, well, would you rather take the chance or just leave him on third? And they said, leave him on third. And I can't do that. I can't, especially when you're not getting on base to begin with in a game. I would like to see for them maybe a little bit less of an aggressive go when there's a guy at third. Maybe a little bit less aggressive.
It's definitely like situational.
Situational.
Yeah. You want to balance the aggression with a conservative approach and not be, you know, not just sell runners off third and then you don't get any runs in.
Yeah, but sure. How many times this year? Because I brought this also up to my friend. How many times this year did they send guys home and the throw was offline or it was a no play,
right?
And they just score runs. Now I did try to go look for that. There's no exact statistic that I could find.
It's a good
that.
Question though.
But there's more runs scored than runs lost by sending these guys, and the third base coach, he takes heat. But yesterday, if I'm Mike Schilt, I'm kind of questioning that one a little bit. Again, I'd rather him try to get someone home than strand him on third base and end the inning with nothing happening than I just want to see progress. I want to see aggressiveness, but just maybe a little less aggressive in situations like that. All right. Donovan Solano, we're back to him. He's not playing in the outfield. I'm sitting on the chat. People go crazy talking about why we're going to move Jake Cronenworth to the outfield, all this other stuff. This is why we don't get paid the big bucks. I don't think Jake Cronenworth is going to the outfield. I just don't think it. Why would you move him again? And personally, I think he would move if they asked him to move. But you want to keep your things are going well with the infield right now. And outside of a few interchangeable pieces here and there, you have your everyday squad. And that is a huge thing for the Padres, is that they know that their defense, their infield, particularly, is going to be covered each and every day. And I don't want to move Jake Cronenworth to the outfield. I don't want to move Donovan Solano to the outfield. I think David Peralta, if anything, will probably be more of a DH. Hey, he can play the outfield, so that comes into play, too, when Donovan Solano can't really play the outfield. You got David Peralta, and then you got the whole lefty-righty pitching thing. But these are all, again, good problems to have. Very good problems. We have. Anthony says, looking at the chat, this is why we don't get paid the big bucks. You're right, because I have some crazy theories as well, and I don't get paid the big bucks because I have no idea what I'm talking about. Oh, which, by the way, reminds me, I got a tweet earlier today that my new show is called something, and I want to share it with everyone because I think it's kind of funny, but my new show is going to be called The Glorified Padres Homer with Zero Baseball Knowledge Show. So that's what I woke up to this morning. So I hope everybody is enjoying the zero baseball knowledge that we got going on today. Nick, do we still have Lou on the line?
Yes, we do. We also have Wayne.
Wayne
as well.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Lou first. Lou, you're on 97.3 The Fan. You want to talk about this Donovan Solano, this lineup problem. Good problem to have. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, you're right, Solano is one of their key hitters. You can't take him out. There is a solution that solves two problems. Let Cronenworth catch. He has caught in the past. At some point along the way, he has been a catcher. Let him be the catcher. That takes care of your catching problems and keeps Solano in the lineup.
I don't know that we have a catching problem. Do you think we do have a catching problem? I mean, Kyle Higashioka has been one of the best catchers in June.
He's been good recently, but he's still, you know, low 200, maybe around 200. And as a matter of fact, earlier today on your show, on the show previous, they were talking about the catching being one of the problems that A.J. Preller will look at in the draft, and they're looking at the catcher from the Rockies. But in any event, moving with what they've got now, when Bogaerts comes back, if you get Cronenworth to catch, you keep everybody in the lineup.
All right. Thank you, Lou. I appreciate the outside-the-box thought there. I will say I never will be mad at his suggestion because it is thinking outside the box. I personally don't think that Jake Cronenworth is going to be moving to catcher. And if the Padres move, I really don't think he's going to be moving to catcher. But if the Padres say they got a wild hair and they did say they wanted to move Jake Cronenworth to catcher, what do you do with the other three guys? And I understand what you're saying about Kyle Higashioka. He is a 200 hitter. He had an incredible June. But he's kind of taken a step back from that here in the last couple games. And I just don't know that they can afford to put Jake Cronenworth at catcher. He's way too important in the infield for him to be beat up by things like that. And not to mention, I know that he has played catcher in the past. I don't know that he's ever played at the major league level. So that would be another thing that I think would be difficult for the Padres to do, putting Jake Cronenworth at catcher. There's already kind of a defensive, liability when certain catchers are in for the Padres. So I just don't think that's going to happen. But thank you for the phone call, Lou. It does certainly, if they did move Jake Cronenworth to catcher, it does certainly solve problems. I just don't think it's going to happen. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne is up next. Hello, Wayne. How are you doing today? What do you have to say?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Just to touch basis on what they're probably going to do, first and foremost, Ha-Seong Kim is a free agent. He's going to walk next year. He's not going to be on the Padres, number one. Number two, Xander Bogaerts, defensive metrics last year as a shortstop, he was number four in all of baseball. So he was a pretty solid defensive shortstop. Number three, Jake Cronenworth is a gold glove second baseman, and you're not going to take out the bat of Luis Cerise. So what you do is you put Kim on the bench and you put Kim as a utility player, have him come sub in for Manny when he wants some rest, you know, and everything else, and keep Donovan Solano as your DH because he's doing so darn well. So this is probably the direction they're going to go to keep all those bats in there. And plus the fact, Xander Bogaerts plays really well offensively, as we know, when he's playing shortstop. He didn't adjust well to second base, and I don't think his confidence was there when he was at the plate when he was playing second. They signed him for a 10-year, $280 million contract as our shortstop. He's probably got a good 2 to 4 years left of him being a solid shortstop at the major league level before they bring up our hot youngster, DeVries, as a shortstop of the future. And then you can adjust your lineups, you know, from then. But bottom line is, there's no way in the world that Kim is going to be on the Padres next year. And most people know this. And as a matter of fact, Kim is an outstanding defensive player, but his statistics batting-wise this year is horrible. He's only batting .225. He's made more errors at shortstop this year than Tatis did when he was a shortstop. And he has a lot more spectacular plays, you know, Tatis at shortstop. But what you're going to probably see is them doing what I was just talking about.
All right. Thank you very much, Wayne. So Wayne's solution is to trade Kim. And we've definitely talked about this a lot on the show. And I know that I've talked a lot about this off the air as well with people. There's a couple thoughts that I have with Ha-Seong Kim. And actually, there's a big five question that I wrote around Ha-Seong Kim. And the question is, so I'm going to leave a little bit on the table. But the question is, do you think Kim is still a good trade piece? Because along with, you got to think, along with Ha-Seong Kim not playing well and not hitting well. But by the way, his bat has come awake here in the last maybe week or so. I think he's hitting 9 of the last 11 games. Don't hold me to that. Something around those numbers. But without answering the question that we're going to answer during the Big Five, I think it's going to be really hard to move Kim because you're not going to get what you want for him right now. And even though he's not hitting, he is a huge piece to this team. Because he's going to play every single game, and for the most part, he's going to give you really good defense. Yeah, he's made some pretty bad defensive plays this year, and there have been some times where Ha-Seong Kim has put the Padres in a bind because of the way he played defensively. And that's going to happen. That's not something that we saw a lot of leading up to this year. I personally think that the future of Ha-Seong Kim is on his mind, which is, where am I going to be playing and how much am I going to make? I think Ha-Seong Kim loves the Padres. I think he loves the organization. I think he loves the fans. I think he loves his teammates. I think he loves AJ Preller. I think all of that is true. But money talks. And I just don't know that sitting him is the best thing for the team right now. And I get what you're saying. You can't take Luis Arraez's bat up out of the lineup. You can't. And they won't. I think where it's going to go is you're going to have to choose between Donovan Solano and David Peralta for the lineup for that day. And I just don't see them ever taking Kim out and throwing him on the bench. I just don't see it. And although I think that he has struggled this year, I do think he's one of their better infielders, and he needs to be in there. And even though Kim hasn't had the average that we want to see from him, I do know that I was listening to Tony and Jesse yesterday, and they were talking about the bad luck that Ha-Seong Kim had all weekend long. I have no idea. Blah, 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 blah. I have no idea what day it is because we took Thursday off. But Monday through Thursday, or Tuesday through Thursday.
Yes, it was two.
You, thank you. Yes, thank you. I'm all over the place.
No, it was a weird one with the July 4th game yesterday.
I just don't know that Kim is going anywhere. I really don't. I think the team loves him too much. And his value is not high enough to make it worth it, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying anybody's wrong, because, again, this is the Padres homer and doesn't know baseball show. So whenever I say something, you should remember that I don't know baseball show. And I just don't see it happening. Don't see it happening. But, hey, I love, and I'm not saying Wayne's take was crazy. Lou's take was maybe not crazy, moving Cronenworth to catcher, but it was a little bit out there. I do love taking some of those takes because I am one to have crazy takes, and I like to let my imagination run wild. All right, we still haven't talked about Luis Campusano, but we will. I promise. We just got sidetracked. If you have anything you want to say, 833-288-0973, or you can go into the chat and you can just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, or Twitter, 97.3 The Fan SD. You can go there as well and watch. But we are rolling along here on Friday. I am Matt Scraby. I'm with Nick DiNucci, filling in for Gwen and Chris. When we get back, we'll talk a little Luis Campusano. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the Daily Gambit or leave it for Monday when Chris is back, but I also have to mention these fireworks that have gone crazy. Like, I don't know if anybody saw this stadium. I think it was where BYU plays football. But if you haven't heard this story, you need to, because it's terrifying. And we'll get to it when we get back here. 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vibing on a Friday here, 97.3 The Fan. I'm not one to say vibing, actually. I can't. I mean, I could pull it off, but I'm too dorky to say vibing. Like, vibes above replacement, that's something that listeners out there talk about all the time with Jerks and Profar. Now, I can get behind vibes above replacement. I think it's Divine Sports Gospel. Anyway. We are talking about the Padres. We are talking about things that are happening right now. The chat is talking about Joe Musgrove and his commercials that he has on TV, which I will say those were all probably filmed in the winter. I mean, the commercials, the ones that I see, everybody has a jacket on all the time, unless he's next to the pool. But everybody has a jacket on all the time. The golf one especially looks like it's during the winter. But, I mean, why is everybody mad at Joe for making some money? Everybody loved Joe last year. I know that Joe's been on the, maybe 2 years ago. People still love Joe. No one, you know, because he's doing commercials does not mean he's not rehabbing people. And I know it's fun to talk about because that's what people do. But, I mean, Joe's bought a lot of equity in this fan base for getting that no-hitter. Also, that performance against the Mets in the wild card. Who can forget that? What is it? Buck Showalter checking his ears for the sticky stuff.
I do like that about Joe. Just the way he just sold it and was just, you know, not rubbing it in their face, but he was not being shy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny, too, that Brian Kenny doesn't bring up any of the other things that are happening around baseball, but he definitely brings up Joe Musgrove and his RPMs and all that, even though Joe Musgrove was pitching in the biggest game of his life. I think that's maybe why his RPMs are up a little bit. All right, let's finish up with some phone calls, and then we're going to go do the countdown in the next segment, which is top five things I was wrong about the Padres coming into the year. So let's go to Chris first. Chris, you're on 97.3 The Fan. What's up?
What's up, Scravy? How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. I've been listening. You guys have been doing a pretty good job and talking about how to get this roster set up right. And you know what I was thinking? I think Xander might be the best option to trade. We'd have to eat some money on that, but let's face it, he doesn't look like he's getting any younger. That wrist that we know about, it's not going to get any better with his one-hand finish. That puts a lot of torque on it. He doesn't look fleet of foot. His arm's not great, but the East Coast doesn't watch us that much, and the East Coast teams probably remember Xander best when he was with Boston. His numbers looked all right last year. And I think we could trade him, and I think that could solve a lot of problems. We don't need Manny and Xander both aging at the same time. I mean, what are we going to do with these guys in 5 or 6 years when they both have 10 more years on a contract? I think you could eat some money with Xander. I think Seidler, at the time of this deal, had money for Trey Turner. We didn't get him. Next man up was Xander, and I don't think it's been, you know, quite the fit we expected. He looks a lot older than what we need at shortstop. And I don't want to move Jake off second base. Jake is a different player at second. I love watching him play defense. And I can live with a Rise at first base. I'd rather sign a Rise to a long-term deal. And you're right. I mean, Solano needs at bats. So that's going to kill us if Xander comes back, Kim's in the lineup, Jake goes to first, Rise is now the DH. We don't get Solano in the lineup. It seems a lot easier to maybe pull the wool over somebody's eyes on the East Coast and trade Xander. We might have to eat like $80 to $100 million, but I don't care. I'd rather do that. Get a pitcher out of it, something.
Thank you, Chris, for the phone call. I mean, I agree with almost everything that you said there. I do, because the Xander Bogaerts contract is the most curious one for me because I quite honestly don't understand it. That's really all I could say is I don't understand the contract. However, I have no issues with putting Xander up on the trade block because obviously, as you said, he maybe I like what you said about him not being the fit that we thought he was going to be. That's a pretty accurate description of Xander Bogaerts for the Padres. The only thing that will keep him from being traded is that massive contract that he has, and you were saying maybe they eat $80 to $100 million. I'm thinking a team would want them to eat even more of that, maybe 125. Let me go see how much left he has on the contract, and I know it's a long time, but I don't see a team taking in Xander Bogaerts and paying him the money that the Padres have paid him already. I mean, I think Xander Bogaerts is a good dude. I think that he is a good clubhouse guy. I think that he's a good baseball player, but not for the amount of money that he's being paid. He signed an 11-year, $280 million contract, which means in 2033, when he is 40 years old, he is going to be making $25 million a year. Again, I'm not sure why they brought him in.
Especially for that length.
The length... Okay, so... Yes, the length is definitely one too, but I think that teams were getting boxed in to if they want a certain guy, they're going to have to just offer them this massively long contract because those guys wanted that job security. But at the same time, like $25 million a year, and you have a guy who's not hitting, you also have a guy who is he's not a liability defensively, but he's not. I'm going to go back to what Chris said. He's not the fit that the Padres probably wanted or envisioned when he came to the team.
And just the fact that you already have a plethora of shortstops, like Wazoo, just out the woodwork.
That is true. I mean, you got Jackson Merrill, you got Ha-Seong Kim, you got Jake Cronenworth, you got Manny Machado, you got Fernando Tatis Jr., you got Xander Bogaerts, you got Leodalis DeVries, I think his name is.
Right, and then if you start throwing the farm system, there's a number of young dudes that are coming up that could play that position pretty effectively for much less financial, you know, wear.
Ruben says, Scraby is so nice. He is trying to... It just scrolled up. He's really trying to let this caller down nicely. I'm not letting the caller down nicely. I think the trade idea is not going to happen because of the contract size. But I don't mind the idea of trading Xander Bogaerts because obviously there is a logjam in the infield and in lineup, and maybe they could salvage some sort of something from a team, giving them prospects or rebuilding the minor league system or giving them one major league ready guy. But that contract, I'm just looking at it on paper right now, and it's $25.454 million all the way down until 2033.
That's scary. Quite the number. And not that this matters.
Quite the number is right.
Coming from, I used to work for the Orioles when they were a struggle bus of an organization. I'm talking like 2019 through 2021. And I'm just bringing that up because their payroll for an entire season was maybe like $150 million, $165 million. And when you look at Tatis, Machado, and Bogaerts combined, that's just short of $1 billion. Granted, you have them all for the rest of their careers, but it's like, wow, that's... No matter how you look at it, how much money you make, don't make, how much you know about sports, don't know about sports, that is a lot of like risk associated with the production of all three of those players the next 10, 15 years, depending on the contract.
I think that Fernando's contract, when they gave it to him, I think that was the right move
because
they needed to lock up a franchise player for the rest of his career. The Manny Machado contract, I don't have a problem with, although... I mean, he's coming back to form, and we're going to have to get used to... he's already been here for 5 years, which is incredible to me. But we're going to have to just know Manny's a slow starter, and it's going to take a little while for him to get to steam. And when he gets to steam, he's very, very, very good.
It's better to be slow now than it is later.
Exactly.
We've seen him produce when it matters, and it's like that's kind of where the money is worth it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yes, good way of saying that. The money is worth it when you produce when it matters, which is late season, which is playoffs, which is playoff runs, things of that nature. So, I mean, the Fernando contract is not as bad to me. And the Manny contract, although I know a lot of people hate that contract, I can only imagine if the Padres, I almost said the 49ers for some reason, the Padres I can only imagine if they let Manny walk, how many fans would be disgruntled about letting Manny walk, because he had that opt out and he, I believe he did opt out. I always get those details confused, but he should have opted out. He had a almost MVP season and now he's getting back into form just now, really, in the last maybe 2-3 weeks. But I don't really have as much of a problem with that contract either. It's the Xander Bogaerts contract that I do have a problem with, because I don't know where he fits into the future. And that's unfortunate for Xander Bogaerts, but I think he'll be okay. And I really honestly hope Xander Bogaerts comes back and just is hitting the cover off the ball, which he's capable of doing. All right, we've gone way too late on this segment. We are going to get into some of this firework stuff soon. We're going to get into some of the rest of what we're going to talk about. Michael King, still haven't talked about Luis Campusano, but this is all good. I like moving topics. I like how everything goes when we get some good phone calls, get some good things to think about. But when we get back, we are going to do the countdown, which is the top five things I was wrong about the Padres. I'm Matt Scraby with Nick DiNucci here on 97.3 The Fan. Away from the laziest person on this station, Samuel Levitt. I don't know his middle name. I would have used it. I'm just going to, because he has the name Samuel, I feel like his middle name is Garfield for some reason. Samuel Garfield Levitt is going to be back on the airwaves. He was here from 6 to 10 a.m. I'm joking when I say anything bad about Samuel Garfield Levitt, which that is his new name in my head for the rest of time. So
I
sorry,
was like
Sammy.
Bartholomew as an arbitrary middle name.
Oh, okay.
Not that that is Sam's middle name. I'm sure it's not. But just
do we know?
S's
do you know his middle name? Nick?
I don't know his middle name.
We're gonna have to figure out his middle name.
We will.
I know Chris's is Gordon. Mine's Thomas. What's yours, Nick?
I have an interesting one. It's my mother's maiden name. It's spelled D-A-L-L-I-N. It's pronounced Dallin.
Dallin, okay. I mean, I can get behind that. I feel like Garfield is the right one.
Garfield.
Sammy does seem like he loves lasagna. There's a lot of things going on there. All right. This is Gwen and Chris. I am Matt Scraby. That's Nick DiNucci. We're going to be I just got a text from Chris during the break. We're going to be talking to him at 4:20 about his day out at Torrey Pines. Right here, we're going to be doing the countdown. And if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado, or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit spirocuisine.com. I'm sure that's what Chris is doing right now, but we'll catch up with him at 4:20. And right now, you know what I didn't do? I didn't take down the commercial break screen. So while I'm doing that, we are going to end up going to the countdown.
Got to do traffic real quick, if that's right.
Traffic first.
Thank you.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Not too bad of a ride around the county. Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a collision on eastbound 8 before 2nd Street. Does not appear to be blocking lanes. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. So I was trying to figure out a fun topic, but I've been kind of wanting to do this for a few weeks now, so this was the perfect time for it. And the countdown today is going to be top five things I was wrong about the Padres. And there are a couple you're going to know right off the gate. Right out the gate is what I was trying to say. If you listen to the Scraby Show, you know that there are two of those that I'm going to mention that you already know about, but there are some other ones I don't know that people necessarily know about. So Nikki can hit the bed, and you could also hit the Number five.
Number five.
And the first one that I was wrong about, the Padres, Donovan Solano, Donnie Barrels being as good as he's been. I remember I was slightly annoyed by everyone getting in my DMs telling me that Donovan Solano is going to save this team. They need Donnie Barrels. Donnie Barrels, Donnie Barrels, Donnie Barrels. And I looked at his stats. I thought, all right, this guy is a lot better than I thought he was, but I need to see it in action. I kept saying I don't think he's going to change the fortunes of this team. And him alone, Donovan Solano alone can't change the fortunes of this team, but he has been really, really, really good. Really good. And he's had some really clutch hits as of late all season long. Donovan Solano being as good as he is my number five, because I didn't think he was going to be like this. So that's number five. If you have any comments, Nick, jump in. My number four would be that the Juan Soto trade would hurt the Padres more than the Yankees. And I'm wrong about this because I think the Padres are kind of making... I'm coming up with really bad cliches today in my head, but I think the Padres are loving the trade on their end just because Juan Soto is not guaranteed to be a Yankee after this year. The Padres gave up Trent Grisham, which he's hitting 165 right now. And yesterday, apparently, if you haven't seen this clip yet, there was a ball hit in the center field. It wasn't going to be caught for now anyway, but he was kind of slowly walking towards the ball, and then the ball like jumped up on his mitt and then jumped up on his arm, and then he basically fumbled the ball. I think it was Jamer Candelario, went from first to second, got a double out of it, and many Yankees fans are mad about that. But Grisham, getting him out was a big win for the Padres. And knowing that you have Michael King and you know, I'll even throw in Kyle Higashioka because he's been so important this year. Knowing, and then you got Randy Vasquez as well. Knowing that you have those guys for longer than just this season, like Juan Soto, I think that this trade is hurting the Yankees more and it's going to be hurting the Padres. I think Juan Soto is going to sign with whoever gives him the most money. And it's kind of crazy because in MLB The Show, I'm playing my little career. I got drafted by the stupid Rockies, which was like the last thing I wanted to be. I even asked for a trade after I was drafted in the game because I didn't want to be on the Rockies. Guess who signed Juan Soto? The Rockies. So Juan Soto is on my Rockies team, and he is 220 right now, halfway through the season or something like that. The reason I bring that up is to say I think Juan Soto is going to take whoever gives him the most money. I don't think he wants anything else other than to be paid the most of any player in Major League Baseball. So I think that the Yankees are hurting a little bit more from this trade than the Padres are. And we will get to Michael King, and Michael King has been he's been great for the Padres this year. So Juan Soto trade would hurt more. It has not.
Number three.
Now, number three is, I said all offseason long, in order to compete, they need to win, and they need to win early. And we all know how the first part of the season went, and it turns out they could start slow and figure out how to get in the playoffs, but I guess it wasn't true. I guess that they didn't need to get out of they needed to get out the gate quick, and they didn't need to stack some wins early. They didn't do that, and they're still right there. So I definitely think that I was wrong about that. I didn't think that they had any real chance of hanging around throughout the season if they were going to do the whole 500 thing at the beginning of the season, but they're more than hanging around right now. They're firmly in a wild card spot, and they are also, don't look now, and I haven't looked at the standings in a little bit, seriously looked at the standings, but they're creeping up on the Dodgers. The Dodgers have not had a good stretch here lately, and they're creeping up on the Dodgers, and I'm not going to say that they're going to catch him, but I will say that at a certain point, the Dodgers are going to start feeling that pressure. And I think it's soon if they keep losing the way that they have been. So that, in order to compete, they need to win and win early. That was something I was wrong about as well.
Number two.
My number two was that I said Ha-Seong Kim may be an MVP candidate this year. Now, when I said that, I was already making ridiculous predictions, anyway. So that is kind of a ridiculous prediction, but I was very wrong. I thought that he was going to have a much better season than he's had so far. I think that he's about to break out at the plate. Because he hit in the last like 11 of 13 games. He hit some balls pretty darn hard against the Rangers in that series. And as someone said on the chat, I'm sorry, I can't really remember who said this, but they said if he had one more push-up, he gets that ball out of the park yesterday and Wyatt Langford doesn't catch it. And that's right. I mean, Ha-Seong Kim, he's got that pop back. He's hitting the fastball. It just seems like I feel, again, we've already talked about this, but I feel like Ha-Seong Kim is in his own head about the upcoming free agency that he's going to be looking at. And I don't think that he is worried about it, but I do think that he knows his play isn't going to give him the big payday that he may have wanted. So I don't think everybody, there's a lot of people in the chat that said, a lot of people in the chat are saying that they don't think he's going to be back with the team next year. I necessarily don't know that he's going to be back with the team, but I don't think it's that crazy to think that he's going to be back with the team. In fact, I think a less than satisfactory season from Ha-Seong Kim is a good thing for the Padres because it kind of gives them a little bit of bargaining power. But we'll see what happens in this free agency coming up here. But my number two would be Ha-Seong Kim being an MVP candidate, which saying it out loud now is kind of funny.
One.
And my number one has to be Turkson Profar being as good as he's been. I remember sitting here, and it was like January, right after they signed him for $1 million. And I said, do I love Turkson Profar? Yes. I think he's a great dude. I think he's great for the clubhouse. Do I think that he's going to be an MVP for this team? Absolutely not. I think his best days are behind him. That's what I kept saying. And I was very wrong, because Turkson Profar is a starter in the all-star team. He's also continuing to win the Padres games by, you know, hitting a home run yesterday, gunning down Garcia at the plate. He's having that magical year that I've talked about before. That sometimes in a long career, a 15, 16-year career, there's always that one season that was like their magical season. And Turkson Profar is 100% having a magical season right now,
especially if you look at his contract too, that's amazing.
$1 million is nothing.
That's for the production, exactly. Absolutely,
he's leading the team in a lot of the hitting categories. He's leading the team in vibes above replacement,
right. And in the intangibles, the morale boost this guy gives, the permanent smile that's not fake. You gotta love it,
and the annoying factor.
Absolutely.
You know, the only people that are annoyed by Turkson Profar are everyone outside of the San Diego Padres bubble. Everybody inside that San Diego Padres bubble loves Turkson Profar because he's awesome. But if you're outside that bubble, he's annoying. All right, when we get back, we're going to be doing some trivia. I'm going to try. We'll see. 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.